Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
You want to record it? Or maybe not.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Hi, welcome to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode number 48, September 7th, 2011.
Hooray!
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And I already said the name of the show.
Yes. So, Carrie, what have you been up to lately in your life?
Oh, dear God. Your theme music's still probably on, too, at this point, huh?
It's probably fading out about now.
Right about now. I went to see Steely Dan in Milwaukee. And beforehand, I went to a really good Indian restaurant with the Winslows, a.k.a. Pooh Bear, whom a lot of you know. Pooh Bear and his wife Margie. We went to Maharaja in Milwaukee, had really good Indian food there. And then Josh and I, by ourselves, went to Steely Dan, and we had nosebleed seats. But no, it was not A19. And it was a really good show. And can't remember anything to say about the show, except it was really enjoyable. The next day was Sarah's birthday.
Yep. And upon Carrie's suggestion, I planned an evening where we would all meet at Heaven on 7 in Naperville, a New Orleans-style restaurant, where we ate so much food.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good, and it was
really good, and I was really full. Although I got fuller at Maharaja the previous night, yet I had more blood sugar problems at Heaven on 7. But Ken had mentioned he was concerned that, you know, everybody else was stuffed, and he wasn't. He was still hungry, and I'm like, well, what did you eat before your entree came out? And he's like, one small piece of garlic bread. I'm like, let's see, I had a piece of garlic bread, a piece of ribs, a cup of soup, half of a gigantic muffin, and a piece of a egg roll, all before my entree arrived. So yeah, I was pretty full and I couldn't eat that much of my entree. Hi, Willow on Luke's lap, blocking the mic.
Yeah, it was basically, they might as well just renamed it in the menu, you know, big bowl of, you know, spicy meat and happiness for Luke, you know, was what I had as my main entree. But I do want to go back there at some point because it was very,
yeah,
very tasty.
That'll be my only time there until sometime after the baby's born. I came up with a rule that I can only go to most restaurants once during the pregnancy. I'll make exceptions for Chili's.
Yeah.
And, you know, other things like Jason's Deli or, you know, but I'm not going to go to Heaven on 7, you know, once a month or anything. I've actually gained 5 to 6 pounds a month for the 2 months since I've known I was pregnant, so I'm gaining too much too quickly, and I think controlling how much, gaining weight, but controlling how much and how quickly is probably just as hard as losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
as far as how much effort you have to put forth. So, but you know, while it's still just barely the second trimester, I'm going to have to put forth said effort and try to make sure I only gain like 2 pounds a month, because from what I've been told, by the time you get to the third trimester, you don't really feel like you have control of that anymore.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I want to try not to become too gigantic by the time it's over. I already feel like a blimp. Anyways, what else did we want to say about Heaven on 7?
Anything? Not much other than, you know, Sarah got some lovely gifts from people.
Rob Balder was there.
Yes.
amongst others, and I brought beads for everybody.
Oh, remind me during What's Luke Plugging Now to plug the Logan Awards.
Okay. Plug the Logan Awards during What's Luke Plugging Now.
But yeah, Sarah got some nice, like, cake serving things from my mom, some glass dishes, and,
Yes.
What else did she get? Oh, I got her, Doctor Who season, what season is that?
Four.
Yeah, season four.
I got her a massage gift certificate.
Which she very much wants to use.
And Balder gave her, one of those plastic sealer, food sealer thingies.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that might have been from Matt and Tara.
Oh, well, then what did Balder give her?
Or maybe it was from Balder, too. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, overall, it was a really fun evening. My mom and Pete were there. George Makis was there.
It was yummy.
Yes. So then you went to Michigan. Or are there other things between that and Michigan you want to talk about?
Well, I've been to, you know, I did a full work week between then. I didn't just, like, get up and leave on Sunday night for Michigan. And I also started college, technically. I'm technically a grad student, but all I'm taking is voice lessons and chorus on Tuesday nights. And that's it. So if you're used to this podcast coming out on, like, you know, late Tuesday or Wednesday morning or what have you, you know, it's not going to be doing that for, you know, the next several months. Hoping to actually get together on more often on Sundays, but this is a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So that's going all right. Then on Saturday, Josh and I left for Michigan. Josh was a big grumpy poopy head all day. And, well, it's true, and he knows it. And then we finally arrived to Michigan, and then Josh's mood finally got better when we were 45. Well, the majority of the drive is actually in Michigan when you're going to see Bill and Moonbeam, so it wasn't until the last 45 minutes that, like, Josh perked up. And we got to Moonbeam's house. We were kind of intending to be there for Ferris's one-year-old birthday party, but we kind of sort of missed the entire party. Luckily, you know, Moonbeam, Dan, Ferris were still there. Moonbeam's mom and dad were still there. Bill was still there, and Karen was still there. So they kind of, like, had the party part two with me and Josh, and they had nummy nom 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 food, and Moonbeam showed me how to swaddle babies, which is also called a baby burrito. And she also taught me how to wrap a baby in a thingamabobber so that you can carry them around on you wrapped in a big, long cloth thingamabobber like Moonbeam does, you know, which is known as baby wearing. And they also have backpacks and stuff for that, of course, as well. So hoping to be able to be a baby wearer.
Cool.
And Ferris is still awesome. And I got to do the wiggle game with Ferris, so that was cool. Ferris was a little shy around me, but we get to do the wiggle game and wiggle, 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 wiggle. It was good. It was a good time.
I know all there is to know about the wiggle game.
He's a really good wiggler. His actual birthday is this Sunday. Don't allow his very important birthday to be overshadowed by a stupid anniversary of stupid terrorists.
Yes.
You
know, my best friend Jason Stahl, his birthday is September 11th.
Oh, really?
I remember the year after Onion did an article that said, Area Man's birthday ruined for the second year in a row.
Yeah, Josh's birthday, luckily, just shy of that, is September 8th. So, anyways,
September 8th? Why, that's tomorrow.
Yes.
And if they're listening to it right away, then it's today.
you can go on Facebook and wish Josh a happy birthday.
Yay!
And if you're not on, if you're not Facebook friends with him, then you can Twitter at him. He's at JRacey, J-R-A-S-E-Y.
Will he ever tweet anything?
No.
Okay.
He's said numerous times he wants to start using Twitter more, but, you know, Josh's thing as an IT professional is that he has to make passwords so, you know, elaborate that he can't remember them. And this is not a funny joke or an exaggeration. This is quite literally true. So Josh forgets his passwords to everything all the time because they're so elaborate that even he can't remember them. Anyways, so the next day, Moonbeam and Ferris were gone because they were going to visit their new Ferris's new cousin in Valparaiso, which is technically Chicagoland, Indiana. So we merely had Bill to hang out with on Sunday.
But that's enough.
We didn't catch him at Denny's. He really, really wanted us to go to his house for some reason that I didn't find out till later. And I probably shouldn't reveal either because it was a surprise for his podcast, not my podcast.
Okay, well then don't.
Although it'll be a few months before
to me, a surprise is him posting any episodes ever.
There's like four episodes, including the one I just recorded with him, there's at least a backlog of four episodes of the Pod of Destiny that have not been put up yet.
What the hell are you waiting for, Bill?
He's busy. You have no idea how much he works. He makes everyone else I know look like big slackers. They work him to death. So anyways, we wanted to see I-3, which is the hacker space of, you know, quote-unquote Detroit. It's in Ferndale, Michigan. And so we met up with Bill at Bill's, at the farmhouse where Bill lives. And then Bill drove us out in his car to Ferndale, and we visited I-3 for a few hours. And I-3 is really cool. And this is the part where I wish Josh was here to try to help me describe it, because I don't really know what all those tools are that are in I-3. A laser cutter, a 3D printer, which is apparently a printer that prints copies of itself. there's a craft room, which is where I had started to work on a cross-stitching thingy. There's a really cool treehouse, quote-unquote, that it has a bunch of couches up in it. It's all decorated with lights and fake leaves and stuff, and that's, like, super cool. It's like, you know, because it's in a big warehouse space. He's totally not listening. And so you go up some stairs that's, like, it's a treehouse. It's, like, you know, it's not literally in a tree, but it's, like, a little hangout space that's up above everything else. And that's really cool. There's, a 13-foot or so red-green statue hanging on the ceiling. There's Bill's attempt at making a Transformers-related thingy on the ceiling. there's welding stuff. There's a bike shop. There's all kinds of wood-cutting stuff. There's vinyl cutter. There's all kinds of stuff for, you know, geeks to go and be geeky. There's technically a chemistry shop in there too, but Bill says he's never seen anyone doing chemistry in it. And there's a kitchen where they sell sodas and lots of stuff there. So it was really cool. And then me and Bill sat down to start recording a Pod of Rapport with Josh. And then Josh got up and went to the bathroom. And about 10 minutes later, during the recording, he comes back and sits down, and he's breathing really heavy. So we're like, are you okay? And then we stop the podcast. And I come to find out that Josh had been in the bathroom feeling weird, feeling like chest pains, and then he pretty nearly passed out. Considering how long he was gone versus how long he actually thought he was gone, we think he might have actually passed out. We're not sure. He has sort of a extremely fuzzy memory of the whole event. And he didn't tell me till later that he actually did that and that he actually went to the ground. But regardless, he thought that, you know, we talked it over for a few minutes. His blood sugar was fine because sometimes he has hypoglycemia. So we talked it over and decided that the three of us, since we only had Bill's car, we're going to go to the emergency room. And Bill picked us out a fine hospital in Providence, Michigan. And we went there, and Bill waited in the waiting room for a good long while. And then he took off and got something to eat and then came back. And we were probably there for about 3 hours or something like that, and they did all kinds of tests on Josh, and they didn't find anything wrong, but he'll be following up with a cardiologist pretty soon. So, you know, that was terribly exciting and not in the good way. So after that, we went to Meijer to get healthy foods, because I'm like, I think after this, you know, and after we, like, stuffed our face on grease at Denny's, and then part of the problem with Josh may have been his, like, extreme caffeine intake that day, too. Anyways, after all that, I'm like, I think I can insist that we have a healthy dinner, but it was, like, too late to go to, like, Subway, and that kind of stuff was closed by then, and all that was open was fast food. Like, you know, drive-through fast food. So we just went to Meijer and grabbed some groceries, and we went back to Bill's house, which we had to go to anyways because that's where our car was, and we fixed our little dinner, and then we finished recording the podcast. So you can find out in a few months what the surprise was. And then we drove back to the hotel, and the next morning we drove home. And you know, we were a little too beat to do the trip, and, you know, we had fun, and it was great to see people, but, I don't know, we're gonna have to do less random trips, I guess, because, you know, we're just not up for it. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I may not have been as much of a crabby butt as Josh was on Saturday, but I felt like shit all day, because we tried to get up early to get there in a reasonable manner. You know, it's not like we didn't sleep. You know, we probably got at least 7 hours of sleep, but it just wasn't enough, and I just felt like shit during the whole drive and the whole drive back. So I don't know, I gotta rethink some of these travel plans.
Well, you know, don't regret this trip, just be, you know, because, you know, the farther along your pregnancy gets, the harder it will be for you to go visit friends. So you got to visit your friends and play the wiggle game. So, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, since Josh ended up in the ER, it's hard not to regret it. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't, you know, regret it per se. But I'm going to have to rethink Con on the Cob and stuff. Cause...
Well, be sure to let Shoebox know what's up, because he's, you know, trying to get the schedule all figured out.
I know. I just.
I mean, I'm sure he'll have no problem adjusting to you if you decide to not go, but, you know, just keep him appraised.
I've had a Willow on my lap for like 10 minutes,
yes,
by the
Willow's,
way.
Yes, Willow's been incredibly adorable and like, you know, lick, pay attention to me, lick, lick, lick.
This is how she is in the evenings.
Yes. So, the only other thing I wanted to mention really quick was a week ago tonight I was on Slam Internet Radio's show called Chicago Comedy and Artist Spotlight, which records in a little studio across from the Portage Theater. It was hosted by Josh, the person we met, and his co-host Abby, and we talked and recorded for about 2 hours, and they have it up at their website the recording's done via Ustream. And I don't have the URL in front of me, but if you just go to lukeski.com and, you know, look at the update I put up yesterday, The link to it is there. So if you want to listen to me talk for 2 hours and they play some of my songs, and there was some wackiness abounding in there because they basically went into this interview knowing virtually nothing about me. I mean, Josh knew a little bit about me, and Abby knew pretty much nothing. So I was kind of like riffing on stuff and cracking her up. And she's an improv comedian as well. She does a sketch show with some other friends at Second City. But at one point, the Muppets got brought up, and she asked me, she said something about, you know, Pepe the King Prawn. So I started impersonating Pepe the King Prawn, and that just, like, killed her.
Do your impersonation.
It was like, Pepe the King Prawn, okay? And, you know, it's, so at one point they're like, can you record an ID for our show as Pepe the King Prawn? And I'm like, okay, everyone, this is Pepe the King Prawn, okay? I am here talking with Mr. Yash and Miss Babby. And, you know, it's Slam Internet Radio. That's what you got to be listening to. And I forgot what else I said. But it was just, I kept riffing on that. And you know, when I was looking across the street, you know, it's across the border street where they got the Goonies. Don't you want to go see the Goonies with Pepe? You know, and all this stuff. And she's, like, curled over laughing. So you can hear all that as it got improv'd live on that thing. So go check it out.
There's some places where people still laugh at your jokes.
Yes.
This is not one of those places.
Yes, I know. So right now we'll have the first song break. And I say song break because there's a lot of little short things that I wanted to play. So I've kind of arranged them all where the four songs go so that they're, you know, groups of songs. So song break number one happens now. Starting off with my newest song, which is available at thefump.com. Also, check out the awesome fan video made by Emily Ann Meyer, which is up at thefump.com. There's a link to it there, too, and at my website. But here it is from my new album,
hey.
Be Amused By Me.
Hey! Hey!
Now I'm being hit.
You're the type of spy who drinks a cold martini, seducing some young hottie who's clad in a bikini. I'm the type of spy who's got computers to fix, working all day in retail, clean up on aisle 6. You're the type of spy who drives an Aston Martin, facing foreign bad guys to stop the wars they're starting. I'm the type of spy who's been down on his luck. I'm Agent Charles Bartowski, but you can call me Chuck, 'cause I'm that type of spy. 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 You're the type of spy seducing every female.
Yeah, baby.
I'm the type of spy who shouldn't have opened his email. I thought it was Keyboard Cat or something cute and inane. That's when the intersect uploaded itself into my brain. Now I'm the type of spy who doesn't want to do this. I flash upon some intel and make a face like Jerry Lewis.
Lady.
Casey's the type of spy who'll snap you like a stick. An NSA Marine who drives a Crown Vic. Shiny. Sarah's the type of spy who's a fighter, not a lover. But as my CIA protector, she's my girlfriend undercover. Hand-to-hand combat, you should see the guy she's mangled. Romantic complications, yeah, we're entangled. I'm that type of spy. Here comes the smolder. I'm that type of spy. They just can't get my nose right. I'm that type of spy. Frying pans! Who knew? I'm that type of spy.
Ow! My shoulder!
Morgan's the type of spy who'll take a Mac and reprogram it. You're the type of spy who's always saying, damn it! Morgan's the type of spy who's got my back when things get weird. He's like my own Chloe O'Brien with a well-groomed beard. You're the type of spy who's using all your leverage. Austin's the type of guy who'll make you a protein beverage. Ellie's the type of doc who'll make a cast and give you a crutch. You're the type of spy who
missed it by that much.
Beckman's the type of spy with whom we correspond. Volkoff's the type of spy with a strong family bond. Jeff and his pal Lester just can't get any dumber. But they'll crash Big Mike's wedding with a rockin' musical number.
Jester,
I'm that type of spy.
Jester.
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 B-U-Y-M-O-R-E is the place to be. To buy nuclear weapons or an HDTV. Bombs aborted, drug cartels thwarted, Blu-ray discs sorted. We'd use another set, but NBC just can't afford it. I'm the type of spy, playing Xbox Medal of Honor. My dad is Captain Archer, and my mom is Sarah Connor. I'm the type of spy, with a castle in my basement, where I eat a cold-cut combo, because, you know, product placement. I'm that type of spy.
Subway.
I'm that type of spy.
Subway.
Five.
Subway.
$5.
$5
food long. So delicious. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, spies. A bunch of bitchy little girls.
Hey, what do you say we sing a driving song?
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed.
When the night has been too lonely and the road has been too long and you think
just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.
Okay, that was good. That was good. Chris, I think you were a little early at the start of bar four. I don't know, how'd that sound from your end?
Sounded great out here. You want another?
No, if that works for you, we're fine.
All good on my end.
All right, that's a take.
Knock, knock.
Lisa, I'm Kurt, and this is Ethan.
We are the counselors, / musical directors, / community outreach liaisons, / counselors.
You said counselors twice.
We do a lot of counseling.
Yeah, but we don't do twice as much counseling.
Well, don't question me in front of the children.
She can't hear us. We're stage whispering.
I can hear you.
No, you can't.
Okay, Lisa, let's get your camp t-shirt.
All I can teach is a medium, while I hope you wear medium, girl.
We should also find you a meal plan.
Meal plan and lay day. Plan my meals, bye-bye.
Do you guys always do that?
Do what?
Sing what you just said, then play a little guitar riff?
No, we don't do that.
We never do that.
Well, we sometimes do that.
But very infrequently, lay day.
Let me tell you about 6 wild cats. A monastery, yeah, that's where they're at. Their lives were simple, relaxed and fun, till Perry became the chosen one. Chosen one, he's the brother named Perry. Oh, he freaks, he blows the monastery. Story of the brothers grunt. Ooh, they're always out on the hunt. Yeah, out of their minds. Oh, indeed they are, trying to find Perry, Frank, Tony, Bing, Dean, Seven. It's hard to find out for which you hunt. And when your speech is a bunch of grunts, and when you have incredible needs for cold martinis and melted cheese. The story of the brothers grunt. Ooh, they're always out on the hunt. There they go, out of their minds. See ya, trying to find Harry. The story of the brothers grunt. Boom!
That was a song or a sketch.
Or a bunch of things.
Or a bunch of songs and sketches.
Yes. And now it's time for Reflections on Suburban Life with Carrie Dalby and Willow.
Well, I think I think I came to realize this is gonna sound simultaneously like really, you know, upbeat and really horrible. But I think I come to realize why I've adapted so well to living out here in the suburbs, even though I love the city so much. I think it's because, you know, I thought I would miss, you know, the people in the city and the places, the restaurants. I mean, well, there's cool restaurants out here too. But as far as the people, I realize, you know, I don't like the people out here, but that I didn't like the people there either. So I just really don't like people no matter where I live. So it's not that hard for me to adapt to a new living situation because I'm generally not going to like the people anyway.
Well, a wise man once said, people are people, so why should it be? You and I will get along so awfully. Meanwhile, Willow sticks out her tongue at me.
Yes, she's got a cute tongue. She's the cutest tongue ever.
Too bad kitties we can't. Are kitties, so why should they be?
Too bad we can't capture that for a photo for the episode.
Yeah.
You can scan the card, which is an exact artistic likeness of Willow, if you want.
So what other reflections on suburban life did you have?
That's about it.
Oh, that was all? Seriously? I thought I was going to devote a whole segment of the show to this, and that was your entire thought?
Well, I was going to, if anything else came up, you know, I would say it. I don't like having to drive so much, but I do like that it's quieter and more peaceful. I don't like the people, but I do like the, you know, kind of additional nature element, you know. Mm-hmm. I have actually really come to enjoy my commute to work ever since Ken introduced me to this one windy road. I'll tell you what road it is later, but this one like windy semi-rural road that I can use to get from here to work that I didn't know about until like Ken drove me down there in like late June or something mm-hmm. for the first time, and I'd never seen that road before. And I saw some deer on that road once. One morning, cool. It was a doe and three fawns, and it was just really cool. It's like just to have this like breath of fresh air, so to speak, where you like driving through this naturey, windy, you know, all these different kinds of trees, road to get to work, and it only takes 20 minutes. So that's pretty cool. I don't know. I guess I don't miss Andersonville that much, probably because I just like the same reason I don't miss St. Paul that much. I can go there anytime I want to. I just have to shut my eyes and think about it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a very, very vivid imagination, so. And I did, you know, haven't been able to go back to Ann Sather for breakfast, but I did recreate Ann Sather breakfast here one morning a couple weeks ago by cooking, which isn't something I do very often, but it turned out really well. We had tofu scramble and cinnamon rolls. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the cats are happier.
They're happy kitties.
They have a little more room, and they definitely have more to look at when they go to the hang out in the windows. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't have a whole hell of a lot to say.
Okay.
Did you have any reflections?
Not really. I was going to ask you, because I saw this on previous outlines for podcasts, and I can't remember if I ever actually talked about it. On this show, do you remember me recently talking about working as a security guard?
I think maybe you did. Hmm. Maybe? Because...
Well, yeah, basically, well, you know, I'll just touch upon it, and people who are listening can tell me whether or not I actually did talk about this. Well, I just can't remember.
What if I remember that you did talk
about it? Well, then tell me. But okay. So basically, when... Yeah, basically. Basically. When... What year was that?
I wonder if they can hear Willow purring on there.
Maybe they can.
She purrs so loud.
Yeah, wait. Shh.
She wasn't purring as loud because she was mildly alarmed by you thrusting a Zen player at her.
I didn't thrust it at her.
I'm being overdramatic for the podcast.
You're overdramatic, period. You'd hit me, but there's a cat on your lap. Happy purring kitty. Anyway, so about halfway through my college career, I decided to get a job because I wasn't getting paid enough at Comedy Sports. So Trisha, who was living in Kansas City at the time, had gotten a job as a security guard. And I, you know, I've had a bad history of being lazy when it came to getting jobs. It's like, well, if Trisha is working there, I'll just try to work for the same company. So, you know, which is kind of dumb because it's not like she and I were going to work at the same place like, you know, Geneva National. You know, they gave me this third shift job guarding some office-y type building. I have no idea what they did. It was just a whole bunch of cubicles. It might as well have been Dunder Mifflin, you know. So I had to guard the place from, like, whatever, midnight to 8 a.m. or something to that effect. So, so that meant that there was occasionally times in my life, because I was also working at Comedy Sports, which shows for that happened in the evenings during, like, what would be a second shift type of job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also going to school. So I'm sure there were some days where it was like, you know, on a Friday, I'd have my, you know, full day of classes or whatever, and then go to Comedy Sports, and then after that, go to work the third shift job.
God, that's nuts.
So yeah, I did that.
I don't even care if you are in your early 20s.
Yeah, and you know, that was also during the time of my life when the Dr. Demento show came into, you know, existence for me. So it was an interesting time in my life, but I remember I had to, you know, as a security guard, you know, nothing ever, I have no stories of anybody breaking in or me busting anyone doing anything because nobody gave a fuck about that place. You know, it was just a bunch of dumb cubicles. But it was like two floors, and I had to, like, there was these little hidden areas where there's these keys, and I had this, like, circular thing with a clock in it, and I, like, once an hour I had to go around the building, find all these hidden keys, like, put it in the clock thing and turn it so it would, like, mark something on a piece of paper that had, like, a time stamp on it so that, basically, I could show that I was doing my rounds on a regular interval.
Punching in once an hour on every floor?
Yeah, except there's, like, you know, 16 different places to punch, so I'd have to, like, walk all around the perimeter of one floor and then go upstairs and walk the entire perimeter of the other floor.
You must have wanted to kill yourself after a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was other, you know, there were nights when I just basically had to give up and pretty much freaking fell asleep on the job and missed a lot of those intervals. But the one super advantage of that place at that time of my life was the fact that there was lots of Xerox copiers there. And in terms of, you know, small-time thievery of a place, I made so fucking many photocopies there for free. I mean, like, back when I was doing my fanzine, I was photocopying fanzines, I was photocopying Teenage Comedian comics, I was photocopying tons and tons and tons of stuff, and, you know, no one ever said a word to me about any of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might have, you know, it's, because, like, it wasn't like supervisors from the security force were stopping by to check up on me. The only other people that might be in the building would be employees that were there to work on something in the middle of the night on a very rare occasion. And, you know, if that happened, I would just not work on stuff. So only a couple of times was I kind of like, oh, shit, somebody's coming. I better, you know, pretend to be on my rounds or whatever. And, you know, anyway, I just thought that was an interesting little part of my life I thought I'd mention.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go on to the next song break, which starts off with, you know, speaking of, well, we weren't speaking of it. you know, we're always trying to get female performers here in our comedy musics and related things. There's this two-girl duo, apparently, who goes by the performance name of Cosby Sweater, C-O-S-S-B-Y Sweater, who did their own musical rendition of the song of Olvac by Patton Oswalt.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we'll start this song break with, and then we'll have News of the Stupid. So here is Cosby Sweater.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Megan.
And we're going to be singing a song called The Song for Ulbach. The lyrics are from Patton Oswalt's book, Zombie Spaceship Wasteland. And you should read it because it's amazing. And this is just our attempt at putting music to Patton Oswalt's lyrics, and we hope that you like it. So thank you.
Thanks.
With a poison blade and a list of names, I stabbed and slashed and made my fame. No gold, I took lives free of blame in the city of Kamosha. Kamosha, teeming, dreaming jewels, streets alive and quick and cruel. Fighter, warlock, priest, and fool, to scheme for gold and glory. Each of us born in three dice thrown, our strength, our brains, our fates alone. The sky gods chose our path unknown, to even them our story. Ringed with dungeons, breathing hell, filled with weapon, wealth, and spell. Few who ventured lived to tell, those who did live well. The sword was keen and my armor thick, a fighter's thrust or wizard's trick, a curse from priest or thieving pick could pierce my heart of stone. So off one day I rode and rode into a dungeon's maw I strode. Some beast to worry bait and goad, then kill to claim a bounty. Then down a crooked hallway crept, across a spiked canyon lift, to a chamber phantom swept. There sat my newest prey, a hissing demon made of bone, rotted tunic eyes that shone, regal sat on silver throne. The zombie king I'd reckon, it made no difference, I'd been paid. A killer's contract had been made. This ghoul's head severed would be laid on my retainer's table. The nut piece sprang and drew a scroll, with a voice dry, dark as coal, began a chant that pierced my soul and froze me where I stood. I wore two rings, one carved from jade, and one of mithril elvish made. The first one caused all magic to fade, the second made me swift. Not swift enough, for so it seemed, the ghoul's eye sockets yet still gleamed, and then drew close and gray misteamed out of his hingy jaw. Your contract's null yet you live, not the one you'd have to give. The fate awaits, but like a sin, your time is running short, he said. There are worlds above our own, the orb of fancy's proxies thrown into a dream, not flesh and bone. We are but dice and paper, I long since learned to ignore the dead. The Eldritch Legion, steel and dread, riddles, hexes, teasing lead, the foolish to their doom. But he touched something long suspected, and my confidence infected. Weak and shook, his words projected louder in that room. We're hero figures for the weak, who aren't yet confident to speak to girls or claim the life they seek. The ghoul said with a sigh. So we wade through blood and gore, claim a treasure battle, comments deeds behind my door, the gods are not yet open. And all his matter turned to dust, where he flew upon a gust. Death and wind, my body rust, was all at once no more. Back in commotion suddenly, or had it always bothered me? I sensed a subtle falsity in every face I spied. Their skills and defects well and wit seemed paper thin and counterfeit. Their fates the same and long pre-writ off in some far off sky. The sky noticed seemed to be a crumpled fool's cap taunting me. No longer was I a killer free to guide my own life's path. Sent somewhere outside the land, a soft and inexperienced hand that knew no steel and claimed no land had brought me into being. So decided it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, what do you guys do when you're not camp counselors?
We're highly successful artists. And as artists, we live in Springfield's most artistic borough.
Brooklyn.
Whoa!
We spend our days acting and painting.
Dancing and sculpting.
Playing my Gibson.
Rehearsing my Ibsen.
Because you see, young artists...
Artists are the people who hold up a mirror. Artists make society see its faults clearer. Artists help stamp out oppression and wars.
And when we camp outdoors,
we make the best of wars. Three layers, Mother Nature.
Artists end poverty with music and dance.
Artists make art on the beaches of France.
I never knew artists were all so amazing.
Excuse me while I talk to this cow that is grazing.
I give art like you give milk.
Everyone listens when artists are talking.
Because artists are smarter than Mr. Stephen Hawking.
Oh yeah, break it down for me, fellas. A brief history of rhyme.
Do you think that I could be an artist in the city?
Hold on, Lisa, let me check with the committee.
So what do you guys think?
Yes.
I agree.
Yes, Lisa, you can be an artist in the world. So move to the city when you're less itty bitty girl.
To the gritty city when you're less itty bitty girl.
The city's pretty gritty for an itty bitty pretty girl.
Damn it.
What?
Well, I have this whole list of sketch ideas written down so I wouldn't forget them. And most of them, you know, I remember what they are from the title or the little hints I wrote next to them.
Right.
But down here towards the bottom, I just wrote, stupid cowboy thing.
Huh.
I mean, what the hell could I have possibly meant by that?
Not sure, but maybe it was something like...
Stupid cowboy thing!
When you don't know what to do!
Stupid cowboy thing!
When there's ninjas after you!
Stupid cowboy thing!
When you're seething full of hate!
Stupid cowboy thing!
When your nuts evaporate! It's a thing! It's a thing! It's a really stupid thing! It was created! Someone made it! And it seems cowboy related! Can't you see? It must be! What's it do? Hey, don't ask me! Could be a jet! Could be a pet! Could be flaming loud and wet!
Stupid cowboy thing!
When your grandma takes you bowling!
Stupid cowboy thing!
When there's blueprints in your car!
Stupid cowboy thing!
When you swim in salad dressing!
Stupid cowboy thing!
When your stapler's PMSing! It's an item and it mightum be available on Fightum! Is it zooming? Is it booming? Tell me, what the hell's it dooming? Could be cheese, could be bees, could be free with UPCs, could be fiber, could be biber, could be Alice Cooper's diaper!
Dude, did you say fiber?
Yeah,
fiber. What's a fiber? Yeah, Justin Bieber, that pop star kid? It's pronounced Bieber.
Is it?
Well, that just ruins the whole...
Stupid cowboy thing!
When you're humping Martha Stewart!
Stupid cowboy thing!
When your lyrics are cut short!
No, I'm pretty sure that wasn't it.
Oh. Was I close?
Are you ever...
I like Pac-Man.
I know you do.
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me to chew and criminate.
This story was submitted by Andre Tessier. San Diego police say a 16-year-old boy throwing rocks at a sport utility vehicle was struck by an arrow fired by a passenger. Police say the shirtless boy and a friend were throwing rocks at a black Toyota RAV4 in the Linda Vista neighborhood when a passenger fired a crossbow out the window. The boy was shot in the right side and was taken to a hospital. The San Diego Union-Tribune said his injuries are not life-threatening. Nobody has been arrested. That's what happens when you mess around in the hood, or mess around with Robin Hood.
Two Toledo police officers watched as a squirrel quickly snatched a flag off of its wooden dowel and ran off with it. Lieutenant James Brown, James Brown, jump back, kiss himself, ow, told the Blade newspaper the bushy-tailed critter was too quick to catch. Later, police spotted a squirrel's nest made of leaves and branches and at least two of the little flags. Brown says at least three of the flags have gone missing in recent days. He's careful to point out that he can't prove that all were the work of the same squirrel. I think the squirrel had an accomplice, a moose, and they are patriots defending our country against communist aggressors.
I will get you next time, moose and squirrel.
And now for something we hope you'll really like.
In Helsinki, a ferry has run aground while its captain was stuck in the bathroom. One member of staff managed to slow the island-hopping tourist ferry down, but the vessel, carrying 54 passengers, slammed onto a rock near the shore of Helsinki. The captain got stuck in the bathroom because of a jammed lock and yelled for help, the Coast Guard said. Some passengers were bruised and tableware was broken in the incident. The Coast Guard is investigating whether the captain's actions amounted to criminal endangerment. He was stuck in the toilet. As soon as the staff member got the door open, it was too late, said Jan Sundel, head of investigation. So be on the lookout for R. Kelly's new hit song recounting the tragedy, Trapped in the Toilet. Reporters did not find out if, while he was stuck in the toilet, the captain got to finish.
And finally, in Oslo, Norway, a man dressed in a black leather hat and a dark coat ran off with an 8-foot whale tooth from a museum in the Norwegian city of Stavanger. The incident has been reported to police, who are searching for the thief with a real-life scavenger hunt. Museum official Atle Fiska says the tooth was more than 100 years old and valued at around $9,300. Fiska says the thief was between 40 and 50 years old and took off with the tooth together with a big white dog that he had left outside the museum before entering. Police are trying to capture the thief by baiting traps with 2-foot square pieces of chewing gum. The museum offered a reward for the missing molar, and when people started bringing them other large animal bones, they told them that they wanted the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
You can't handle the tooth!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Hi. So, anyway, this is the part of the podcast where I talk about the really shitty thing that happened to me over the weekend, and I'll try to be quick about it. Friday night, I went to Shubha's in Chicago, a place where I've been to, you know, at least a dozen times in my life to see various performers perform. Never had a problem there. I parked on Belmont, just a little bit up the street from it. Since it was the odd-numbered side of the street, if there was an address to the place where I was parked, it would be 1327 West Belmont.
Yeah.
So, anyway, parked my car at 8 p.m., went in to hang out with my brother Michael, you know, talked with him for about an hour, and then his band performed for a half hour, and it was awesome. They did a great job. It was cool seeing him. And then I returned to my car at 9:30 p.m., and I didn't even notice it at first. I actually got in the car, and it wasn't until I was sitting in the car with the door closed that I noticed that there seemed to still be noise coming from outside, and I turned and I looked and I saw that my passenger side rear window had been smashed out. Just, I was like, oh, shit, and I just got up, ran around to the other side of the car and looked in the window, and then I immediately realized that my big book bag, you know that book bag that you see me with, the giant, you know, heavy one that's black with wheels on it that I take with me everywhere that's full of everything important? Yeah.
Are you saying that to me or to your audience?
I'm saying that to the audience.
Because I've seen that bag about a zillion times.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So, yeah, so somebody smashed and grabbed it because they obviously thought there was a laptop in there or something, and there wasn't. It was just a bunch of heavy paper and art supplies and shit. So, you know, the most valuable things in a monetary sense that were in there were my digital camera, which is worth about $150, and
did you ever get that back?
No. And my Copic 24 full color marker manga set that I got at Dick Blick's, which at the store, at Blick's store, costs about $125. I think you can get it on Amazon for about $110, possibly cheaper. But, you know, those were the only things that were worth any amount of money, and a thief wouldn't have recognized the value of the markers. You know, so, you know, I kind of relish in the thought that this person, you know, carrying, you know, this heavy-ass bag was like, oh, shit, I'm going to get the laptop, I'm going to get all this Apple hardware and blah, blah, blah. And it was full of fucking paper. Fuck you, thief. Yeah. You didn't get a fucking laptop, you asshole. You got a digital camera that you'll maybe get, a couple dozen bucks for at a pawn shop.
Not even. 20 bucks at the most.
Yeah, so, you know. Anyway,
well,
so
there's other things that were in there too.
Well, I'll get into that later. So you know, it's like, you know, all my art supplies, the art sticks, just, you know, fortunately for me, the very device we're recording on right now, the Zen Player, I had shoved in my rear pocket of my shorts that I was wearing, so that was not in the bag. Another thing that was,
even though there are times when it might have been.
Yes, and also I had, before I headed out to Shubha's, I went to Kinko's and bought a ream of new paper, and I went to Hobby Lobby and bought three new markers, neither of which I actually put in the bag. They were sitting next to the bag on the back seat, so they didn't get stolen. So it's kind of like the two most important art supplies I needed, I had just restocked on and did not get stolen. So that was good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because it was, Friday night I usually go to Key Lime Cove, but I didn't because I went to see Michael perform. So, I drove home after I called the insurance company and reported it. And then Saturday morning, I got up early to go have the window fixed at Safe Light Auto, which is at Thorndale and Bussey, very near where Carrie works. And I called Ken to see if I can get some help from him, and he said that he wasn't available, but his wife Ronnie was. So Ronnie very graciously came and picked me up, and we drove around to Dick Blick Art Supplies and a few other places so that I could, either buy or make at Kinko's, everything that I needed to replace the stuff that got stolen, like my body and background book with the demo caricatures in it. I had all the originals kept at home, so all I had to do was buy a new book at Dick Blick's, go to Kinko's and recopy everything, and whammo, I had another copy of that book. Mm-hmm. And lots of other things. I won't go into super detail, but the point is, Sarah had bought me this cloth over-the-shoulder bag that she thought it might be better for me to use for my caricature stuff, and I had only used it here and there. But now it was like, okay, the mission is to turn this into the new caricatures for on the weekend bag for me. And, we went back to my place. Aaron and Ronnie played with Abby while I assembled this new bag. And by the time I got it all assembled, the car was ready. So we went back and picked it up, and I drove out to Ed DeBevick's, and I spent the day drawing, and just kind of dealing with the fact. I posted a Craigslist ad really quick just to, on the off chance it might help.
Offering a reward.
Yeah, offering a reward for, whatever could be found.
No questions asked.
Yeah. Of $100. So anyway, went to Ed's, drew there, then I packed up and went to Key Lime Cove, and I was drawing there, and I right about 11 p.m. when I'd normally be wrapping up, I got an email from somebody who found a bunch of my stuff in an alley near Wrigley Field. Like a bunch of my business cards were strewn all over the place. So I emailed him back right away. He called me, and his name is Jay. And his daughter is named Sydney. She's 16. And Sydney was the one, I guess, who initially found all this stuff. Because she's an artist, too. And she recognized that this is like, this is somebody's art stuff that wouldn't be thrown away like this. There was something suspicious about it.
Yeah.
Another thing. There was a couple of important items, were in my bag that, could have helped somebody if they were interested in identity theft. So that, finding those couple of items made these people say, oh shit, this is definitely something that was stolen and then thrown out. So, once I got on the phone with them, I very quickly closed up the stand at Key Lime Cove and drove back out to the Chicago area by Wrigley Field so I could meet up with them so they could show me the alley where they found all my stuff. So what they found was the bag itself, but it was empty except for a couple of tiny items that these people missed because I guess they figured their best plan of attack was to discard the items in various different empty, garbage bins, recycle bins, whatever. Just don't leave them all in the same place. Uh-huh. So they spread them all up and down this one half of this alley. So they found my empty bag. They found the book, the one I spent the morning, recreating. So now I have two of them.
Yeah.
And the originals. So they found that book, which was amazingly unscathed and unwet. And, they found a bunch of my paper. They found, like I said, a couple other really important personal items that had info that could have led to identity theft. But, they didn't keep it because apparently that wasn't their MO. They found my plastic box of art sticks, which was really great because A, they're expensive, B, you can get some of the colors individually, but a lot of them that are like silver and gold and certain shades of certain colors, you have to buy a box of 48 to like get those colors, mm-hmm. and it costs like literally like $68, plus tax. So, you know, it was nice to have found those so that I could get my set of colors back. They were dirty and wet, so I had to wash them and, you know, wash them in hot water and dry them out and everything. You know, a significant amount of stuff was found, and I kind of felt like even though, you know, the things I didn't find, or the things that they didn't find that I felt were the most important, were my two notebooks. One is the notebook I've been carrying around for the past year and a half that has all of my notes, lyrics, ideas, lists, my income that I make every week, you know, just, you know, all this, you know, my notes about MarsCon, everything I've worked on creatively in the past year and a half was all written about in this notebook. And it was 5 pages away from being full, and I had to buy a new one. And, you know, so that was gone. And the other thing was, last weekend, I found one of my Teenage Comedian comic book notebooks from when I was in high school / college that had a comic book story that I wrote but never actually finished. You know, just had some sketchy drawings and a few completed ones in pencil, but, you know, it was mostly just a written script. And I wanted to reread that story because it was the origin story of Kamikaze the Fly that I came up with. Mm-hmm. So I read that last weekend, and I'm really glad that I did, because now, you know, because I forgot to take that thing out of my notebook and the notebook got stolen, it's gone. So I carried this fucking spiral notebook, you know, with amongst all of my things for the past 19 years, and now it's fucking gone forever. And I'm trying really hard not to get, you know, really upset about it, but at some point between now and when I go to work on Friday night, I'm going to sit down in front of my computer and type up a synopsis of what that story was. So even though I can't remember every single nuance and joke, I can at least remember the plot and the main points and what the whole point of the story was.
Yeah.
And I'll go into that detail later on when we do the Teenage Comedian wrap-up segment of Bad Rapport, after everyone else gets to the comic. Kyle has read them. Breakman Z has them, and I'm assuming is reading them, and then he'll send them to Sean, and then Sean will send them to Bill, then Bill send them back to me, and then I'll give them to Ken and Jared.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then once everybody's read them and they've emailed their comments...
I probably
comments
need
and,
a refresher, because yeah. It was years ago when I read them.
So after the comments, and after everyone's read them, they're going to... After everyone individually reads them, they're going to send their comments and questions to Kyle, and Kyle's going to come up with an outline so that he can, like, direct the discussion of that segment of the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. So Brickman Z, hurry up and finish reading those so you can send them to Sean.
A happy 30th birthday, Brickman Z.
Birthday, shmirthday. Read my comics. No, I'm just... I'm being a dick. Yes. Yes, congratulations and happy birthday to Breakman Z. Awesomeness. He's going to come out for that Geekeasy thing on the weekend of September 24th.
Oh, really? The thing that I said I couldn't stay up late enough for?
Yes. Anyway, back to the point. So, you know, those two notebooks are incredibly fucking important to me. So
Did you mention that you went back another time?
Well, I was about to. That was the next part of the story, is that after those two went back, you know, Sydney and Jay, after they went back, and I gave Sydney the reward money of $100 just because I felt, you know, they deserved it for everything they did for me.
Because Sarah talked you into it.
Well, I called Sarah, and I'm like, you know, do you think I should still give them the reward money? And, you know, she said yes. In an emotional state like that, I'm never, you know, I want to talk to somebody else to make sure that the thing I'm thinking of doing is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway. So I searched the alleys after they left. I think they left about 1:30. I kept looking until about 2:15 in the morning. And at that point, I'm like, all right, it's too late. It's too scary. I'm going to go home and get some sleep and come back here, you know, bright and early in the morning. So early Sunday morning, I got out to that area of the city again. And I started, you know, when I went home, I looked up on Google Maps. I basically did a Google Map search of, like, here's where the break-in happened, here's where the stuff was found, what would the shortest path be for somebody walking, and it was Lakewood Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a direct line, like literally a direct line from where the thing happened to where the stuff was found,
yeah.
You know, with the exception of a couple alleys that may have been darted down. So I systematically started searching all of the trash recycling receptacles and dumpsters on every street, you know.
Did you have to explain to some people what you were doing?
No, I pretty much just, it was early enough on a Sunday morning that, you know, people didn't really start, you know, showing themselves until about, 11:30-ish or noon. And by then, I had kind of gotten through all the main areas I wanted to initially look. Plus, there was a Cubs game that day, so all of a sudden, a bunch of people started appearing with, like, flags saying, you know, hey, parking, you know, come park in my, whatever, $20, easy in, easy out. So once it got to that point, it was like, I can't really do thorough searches of these cans if people are standing there, you know, trying to wave people into park.
Yeah.
But I still got in what I felt was a very good amount of searching. And then went to Ed's, drew, went to Key Lime Cove, drew, went home, went to bed, got up the next morning, which was, yesterday morning, Labor Day. No, wait, no, 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I used Photoshop, Google Maps, and the image I had taken, because just for the hell of it, I took a photo of all of my notebooks for the sake of posting it on Twitter saying, hey, see, look at all these notebooks I've had over the years. I did that like a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that image and I, you know, zoomed in on the, you know, I copied the part that showed the pink notebook from high school,
uh-huh.
You know, and also there was another notebook in the picture that wasn't the blue one that I lost, but it was very similar to it. So I copied that too. So I basically made a reward poster showing the map, you know, where the break-in happened, where the stuff was found. I even highlighted the parts. Well, I made a couple different versions, but in one of them, I highlighted the parts that I had already searched the previous morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in the images of the two notebooks and basically gave the quick rundown, $100 reward, blah, 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 you know, $50 for each notebook on the off chance, you know, the thief wanted to cash in on the reward. I didn't want somebody to be like, okay, you take one notebook and then you take the other one and we'll each get $100. It's
yeah.
Like, I'm like, you know, fuck you, $50 for each notebook just
uh-huh.
to make sure. Now, keep in mind, I'm realistic. I know that, you know, there's not really a chance I'm ever going to get those fucking things back. If they weren't in the places that, you know, the only way I could have searched more thoroughly is if I would have put on, like, a garbage man jumpsuit and literally taken apart, you know, every fucking garbage receptacle in that alley.
Yeah.
You know, digging out everyone's garbage. I mean, someone would have called the fucking police on me.
Yeah.
If I, to do the accurate kind of search that might have helped me find those fucking things. So, anyway, after posting a new Craigslist ad featuring the new wanted poster, specifically talking about the notebooks, I drove back out to the area yet again. This time it was, like, you know, Labor Day in the afternoon, so there was a Cubs game, but it was, like, towards the end of the Cubs game.
Uh-oh.
I went back to the alley and put up a bunch of these posters, because I figured, well, who fucking knows? Maybe somebody here in this alley found the notebooks and is just holding on to them, not knowing what the fuck to do. So I every telephone pole in that alley, I put up one of the signs through that entire alley. And
wow, how many signs did you put up?
20. Well, not in that. I put about maybe 8 or 9 in that alley, and then I put others up elsewhere where it made sense to put them up. But then I walked around some of them. After having done the Google Map thing and highlighted the places I looked, I kind of realized, oh, wait, I should probably look on this street and this street and this street. And so I kind of did my double-checking of other streets that I didn't look the previous day. Then I kind of said, all right, I've done everything I can do here. I drove back up Lakewood, threw a few more of the flyers on the struts holding up the L train, or the Metro train, whichever it is, and then continued over to Belmont, stopped in Shuba's, left a couple of them in there. And just because I felt like being a smart ass to life itself, I actually taped one because there was a window there, so it was easier to use it. I taped one using masking tape to the window directly in front of the spot where the break-in occurred. Even though I knew that was probably illegal and I could get in trouble, I'm like, fuck it. And I actually took a photo on my phone backing up far enough so that you could see the flyer on the wall and the glass in the street, which was my glass shards from my window. So uh-huh. It's like, yep, This is the end of the story.
So,
you know,
what was it, a store shop window?
It was, I don't know, some building. It wasn't a storefront. It was, you know, basically a big giant brick wall with a bunch of those square-shaped glass thingies that you can't actually see through. They're just there to let light through,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I wasn't fucking up anybody's anything, you know, as far as I could tell. So, you know, I'm trying hard not to be too upset about the loss of the two notebooks, and, you know, this is typically where, you know, a joke like, oh, God hates comedy musicians. God had nothing to do with this. It was my stupidity and the assholeness of some smash-and-grab thief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so mad at myself for her, because normally I'm very paranoid about shit like this. You know that about me. It's like, oh, I gotta lock things up. Oh, I gotta cover that up. I gotta put that in the trunk. You know, it was just because it was a Friday night, and I threw my bag in the car because I usually have my bag with me when I go to Key Lime Cove, and in fact, I thought maybe I was going to end up somewhere drawing at some point. I think originally my plan that day was I was going to go to Ed's and draw for a while before I went to see Michael's show, but then I ran out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So the bag was in the car, and I just didn't give any thought to it that it was there. I totally fucking forgot it was sitting in the back seat. If I would have noticed it, I would have said to myself, oh, I better put that in the trunk.
Yeah.
You know, or at least put it lower in the seat and hit it somehow. So
yeah.
I'm just angry at myself, but I'm really trying to like get over it and move on with my life.
You shouldn't be angry at yourself.
Anyway, so that's me telling the story of that so that it can help me put it behind me so that I've gotten it off my chest. So I will probably tell a much, 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 much shorter version of that story on the Fumpcast because, you know, that's what I do.
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on to the third song break, which begins with...
What happens after this? Are we going to do the thing that I texted about?
We can.
Is there any other place to do it?
Let's get to the song break and then we'll figure it out. So this is the first song in this set is by The Lonely Island. It's not from their last album. It was put out just after their last album with Justin Timberlake and Lady Gaga from Saturday Night Live. So check it, yo.
It's okay when it's in a three-way. It's not gay when it's in a three-way. With a honey in the middle, there's some leeway. Lisa Simpson. What are you doing here?
I came to share in the esteem that the world bestows on its artists.
Yeah.
Boy, it sure is cold in here.
No heat. It's, part of our art. More art.
Ethan, look what I stole from work.
Yes!
Tomatoes? What kind of artists are you?
Sandwich artists.
But we get to eat any sandwiches we drop on the floor.
Unless we drop them on purpose.
They've got cameras on us at all times.
Are you saying that arts camp was a lie?
Well, not the swimming.
Look, Lisa, I think it's time we sang you the truth.
Artists are the least important people in the world, so whatever you do, don't be an artist, girl.
Artists make a living dressing up like a falafel.
Artists shed a tear when they're called something awful.
You ain't no falafel.
Artists sit in jail on a lifetime hitch. The only way out is become a prison snitch. Oh, why did I sing that out loud?
What I don't get is why all the lies.
We wanted you to think we were happening, guys.
Well, philosophically we're happening, in the sense that we exist.
Not for long, if we don't drop more sandwiches.
You know, you're going about this all wrong, Brian. If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
Now everybody gather round and listen if you would. When I tell you every person needs a way of feeling good. Every kitty needs a ball of string and every dog a stick.
But all you need is a bag of weed to really get a kick.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. It's the only help that you'll ever need. Because everything is better with a bag of weed.
There you go, you're all getting it now.
When Texas people want to feel good,
they go assault a queer.
When stupid people need a thrill,
they rent the Rocketeer.
When Michael Jackson needs a rush,
he humps a guy like me.
But all we need is a bag of weed to keep us worry-free. 1, 2, 3, 4. A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. Oh, you don't need nothing, you don't need speed, because everything is better with a bag of weed.
Have a go, Brian.
As Mr. H.L. Mencken said, the common man's a fool.
And just like Helen Keller said, poof dookie people cool.
But try and use your heads and don't buy into all the fear.
Because all we need is a bag of weed to make us wanna cheer. And 1, 2, a bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. You can try and fight, but we're all agreed. Because everything is better with a bag of weed.
Tried calling yourself. Oh, every once in a while,
every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken. Ding! Hi, Ken.
Hi, Luke. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing tonight?
All right.
We're doing all right. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing pretty good. Anticipating season starts tomorrow, so I'm all geared up for it.
Ah, a sporting event.
Yes.
Fantasy football.
Yes, you went out for that, for your big thingamabob the other morning, didn't you?
No, that was actually a couple weeks ago. I went out for my draft. I drove basically about 40 miles from my brother-in-law's house.
Oh, yeah, that was the night of Sarah's birthday party.
That was,
yeah, the night of Sarah's birthday
a week
party,
and a half.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, in non-sporting event-related items, I heard there's a podcast you recently started to listen to.
Yeah, well, last weekend I had to drive all the way out to my... Basically, I had to drive 125 miles by myself over Labor Day weekend from here to my parents' house to actually the Horseshoe in Indiana and then back around. So I was looking for a podcast, and I said, someone mentioned a Nerdist podcast. So I basically, I downloaded the last two episodes and was actually hearing the interview, I believe it was Chris Hardwick. No, he's the guy who runs it, right?
Yeah.
Of course, I can't remember who was the guy. Of course, I already erased it.
That's okay.
Yeah, and I was very impressed by it. I hear it's also coming to a, somewhere soon, I don't remember, BBC TV or something like that?
You said
that
on
right?
The text it was the Breaking Bad / Malcolm actor.
Oh, it was, yeah, Bryan Cranston.
Thank you, I couldn't think of his name.
But yeah, Chris Hardwick and Jonah Ray and Matt Myra are going on a stand-up comedy tour. Unfortunately, it's not coming to Chicago or anywhere near it. But
I didn't know they were going on tour.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't coming to Chicago.
Yeah, so... But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's a very great show. And
Have you heard one of the episodes yet without any of the guys in it? Without any guests in it?
I heard the first part. I heard the first 20 minutes, the most recent of the... Actually, second, the one on the second, I was listening to that.
Of the Hostful episodes?
Episode 2. It's a very impressive... I'm really enjoying it. Cause I was looking for another podcast since the podcast I...
And then Luke was gonna say something, but he doesn't like being interrupted, so go ahead, Luke.
I can't remember what it was now, so
on September something.
Oh yeah, the Nerdist, the TV version of the Nerdist show is airing on BBC America, I believe, on September 24th. So if you get BBC America, everyone should check out that show.
Oh yeah, because I definitely once it comes on. I remember people talking about that, and I figured, hey, I tried it. They won me over.
Yeah, I find it really enjoyable, especially enjoy the ones without guests. The ones with guests are hit or miss for me, but the ones without guests I always really enjoy.
And I know the one I was released yesterday features Patrick Stewart, so I'll be interested in hearing that too.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one yet.
Wasn't I kind of I was the one who brought Flat 29 to the group? Wasn't I the one who kind of sort of brought Nerdist to the group too?
Sort of. I mean, I didn't start listening to Nerdist until about he was at episode 10 or so, and you had told me that I totally should listen to it. So
I downloaded
them all, and then while I was painting the house, I would listen to them back to back, and it was totally cool.
And I discovered them the same way I discovered Flat 29. Saw them on iTunes.
All right. Well, we gotta hang up on you because I'm running out of recording memory here on my Zen player. So I will talk to you later, Ken.
Actually, you'll see him later tonight.
Yes, I'll see you later.
All right. Take care. See you soon. Have a good rest of the podcast. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
So, is it time for our regular ending segments?
No, because we only have like 1 minute's worth of time left on this, so...
Oh, so we have to go record on my computer.
Either that or I can go home and we can record it on my computer over Skype.
We'll just record it on my computer.
Okay. Stop.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
See, I'm gonna get stuck now with that song. Now it's in my head.
Sorry.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
Alrighty, I have kicked on my computer, right. And now we are continuing with segments such as...
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah! Whoa. What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle!
Right now at the fump, you can currently download for free I'm That Type of Spy by the great Luke Ski.
Hooray!
pirate ship by TV's Kyle featuring Insane Ian and Austin, whose name I can't pronounce.
Eichelman.
I don't know if I commented on that, but I found that particularly enjoyable. If you're wondering if I'm stalking you, I'm stalking you by Insane Ian. Thank You Gilligan by Money Shot Cosmonauts. Elevator by Cirque du Soleil. My Pal the Murray by Steve Goody. Bert's No Good by Robert Lund and Spaff.com. And Ode to Crayola by Lemon Demon.
And yes, if there are songs at the Fump that you enjoy, please, please, please go and leave comments for them, because us artists' fragile little egos are dependent upon your comments.
You still so only that have we, 3 comments?
So that I think there's 4 now for I'm That Type of Spy, you know. So please help me not cry and go leave a comment for I'm That Type of Spy. Or for Pirate Ship, because that's a good song, too.
Or for Ian's songs, because Ian's ego is almost as fragile as yours.
Yes.
But not quite.
Yes. So, okay, this would be a good time to mention the Logan Awards. The Logan Awards is the Logan Whitehurst Memorial Award for Excellence in Comedy Music. And the first ever Logan Awards will be held at Con the Cob this October, the weekend of October 15th. So the nomination suggestion form has gone live as of a handful of days ago. So basically, there's 3 categories. There's a category for Outstanding Parody Song, Outstanding Original Song, meaning not a parody, and Outstanding Music Video. And also, this is for the calendar year 2010. So whatever songs that you think deserve an award for being so totally awesome that came out in 2010, you could go to the Logan Awards website, loganawards.com, and submit your suggestions for the songs that will be considered to narrow it down to the top 5 nominees, which our jury will vote on.
Perhaps you thought Reckon by the Book by Luke and his friends was the best comedy music video of 2010.
Actually,
I don't know.
Actually, I don't know if you've looked at the suggestion list, but Reckon by the Book by Carrie Dalby, as it's listed, is, I think, both in the parody category and the video category.
Sweet.
And once a song is listed, you don't need to suggest it again. It's not going to help its chances. So,
can I say what I suggested?
Sure.
I suggested You're an Old Lady Who Used to Be Hot by Flat 29.
Yes, that was one of the early suggestions once the thing went live.
That was me.
I was very happy that somebody put up there It's Good to Be the King.
That's awesome.
That was like, you know, the one song I was hoping the most would get put on the list. The other songs of mine that are eligible for the record are Anime Fan, It's a Fanboy Christmas 3, both of those being parodies, and Blues Campbell, which is an original. So if any of those 3, in your opinion, is so damn good it deserves an award...
Yeah, don't go just nominate it just to be nice.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like a total, oh, Snoopy the Dog, requested every week. You know, it's not that kind of a thing. It's more like, I want to be as honest as I can with this. You know, I'm not, you know, if I was going to be dishonest, I'd just put all my songs up there myself. But, you know, I want to keep this for real about what the fans felt deserves it. You know, so, you know, I'm very happy It's Good to Be the King is on there, because I was hoping that would be considered potentially award-worthy amongst the fans.
Yeah.
So.
Dr. D actually did play Reckon by the Book once, didn't he?
I believe so. At least once.
I think it was once. I don't know, maybe twice.
Well, you can always... And speaking of Dr. Demento, he is one of the 7 jurors. In fact, he's the permanent juror who will be on the jury every year for the Logan Awards.
Yes.
So there are 7 other, there's 6 other jurors besides Dr. Demento, one of whom is Weird Al Yankovic.
Yay!
So Weird Al will be listening to the nominees and helping vote and pick the winners as well as Whimsical Will, Jay Kitty of Dementia Radio, who else is on there? Will Frank, Austin Eichelman, I'm forgetting others, so forgive me for being... the jurors are listed at the site, so you can find out there.
So the web address again
is loganawards.com, loganawards.com. Moving on to the regular things that we plug at What's Luke Plugging Now? Cirque du Soleil's album Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother, is available at thefump.com.
Grandmother!
Indeed. My new album, Be Amused by Me, is available at lukeski.com. So, and once again, got to point out, coming up in the near future, you know, in about a month, is going to be the Lukeski Top 50 being re-voted on to include all the tracks from Be Amused by Me. So if you have, you've heard it, you've heard Walking Silly, you've heard I'm That Type of Spy. If you have not yet heard Red Bank, New Jersey, which incidentally was number one on the Mad Music Dementia Top 20 a couple weeks ago, I don't know how that happened, but whatever. Or if you haven't heard the song Smeghead, which nobody has played anywhere yet, as far as I can tell, please pick up the album so that you can hear those two songs, so that you can decide whether or not you like them enough to vote for them for the top 50. And I will point out, yes, you can buy those two songs on MP3 individually from my website if you can't afford the whole album right now. Neither one of them is going to be a thump, at least not any time in the near future. So, you know, if you can afford $2 at my website, you can get those two tracks.
Yay!
So, Lukeski.com. And as I said before, The Dr. Demento Show, the song Snoopy the Dog. It was not on Dr. Demento's Top 10 for August. Walking Silly was number 3, which is quite awesome. But I'm really hoping that it was...
But you'd rather have requests yeah. for Snoopy the Dog. How did I guess?
Basically, I mean, just because I'm really hoping it'll stay number 1 so I can have the number 1 song of the year
yeah.
on the Dr. Demento Show for, you know...
It's an awesome song.
Thank you.
I feel it would be deserving of that title.
So please go to drdemento.com, click on the request link, and request Snoopy the Dog. Please do it. I've had a shitty week. Please do it. Make me happy. Please. Aww. Have pity on me. Be amused by me.
You know, part of it was recorded here at my house.
Yes. Oh, by the way, a bit of trivia. I'm That Type of Spy was recorded at Matt Doohan's house.
Oh, yes.
Because of the power outage.
And Grease Wars was written at my apartment in Andersonville.
Not entirely, but...
Well, a good chunk of it.
A significant amount of the writing and the note-taking was done at your place.
Yes.
Tour dates. We got a couple of new ones here for the Chicagoland area. Conception, which is the weekend of September 23rd through 25th in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, at the College of DuPage. Their website is concentricconventioncompany.com. I'm going to be there Friday and Saturday. And on... what are you looking at?
Just the fact that they call a con Conception.
Yes, they did.
Ziggy would like to argue that Conception is held on June 18th, 2011. And well, Ziggy likes to wiggle, too. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
So yeah, I'll be doing shows there on Saturday afternoon, one at 1 p.m. and one at 6 p.m. And then I will be leaving and heading out to... the club called Lucky Number in Chicago, Illinois, so that I can perform at Geek Easy Episode 2. It's September 24th, starting at 10 p.m., going until 3 a.m. The event is free, but you have to be 21 at least to get in. They don't have a website, but just search for Geek Easy on Facebook, all one word, and I'm sure you'll find it. And of course, there's links at my webpage.
And I'll be asleep.
Yes. We'll be the event will feature a live riffing of the Masters of the Universe live-action movie featuring myself and Nostalgia Critic, a performances by girls from Geek Girl Burlesque, and then I'm going to do a performance for about 25 minutes, and then there'll be a DJ spinning geeky dance music. So come check out both of those things. And then I'll be at Archon once again, Archon 35, September 30th through October 2nd in Collinsville, Illinois, back where it used to be, back where it should be.
Yay.
That's archonstl.org/35, archonstl.org/35.
Eat a Waffle House waffle for me while you're there.
I will. In fact, we're going to stay at the Motel 6 across the street from the Waffle House, so... parties. You can hire me to draw caricatures at your parties if you're in the Chicagoland tri-state area. Please go to artbylukeski.com. You know, business cards available at alleys everywhere in near Wrigley Field. Carrie, what shade of Steely Dan are you wearing?
I'm wearing a red shade of Steely Dan with little, like, pitchfork thingies. And it says Steely Dan 2011. Not 2011, it has the words 2011 spelled out with letters on a gray t-shirt.
Cool.
I acquired it recently, but it's too small for me. I should have gotten a bigger size.
Okay, so time for our ignorant stories. I was at Key Lime Cove a couple weeks ago, and some dad comes up to me, and he has, like, you know, two young boys, and he's like, you know, hey, I want to get the two boys in color with the bodies and backgrounds, man. What kind of deal can you make for me? And I'm like, well, one of those drawings is $40. He's like, well, I only got $20. Can you do it for $20? I'm like, no, I can't do it for $20. And then he tried to talk me into it with using various like arguments.
Did you tell him what he could get for $20?
Yeah, I did. Yes, but he's just like, you know. You know, all I got is 20, it's all I get. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do, you know, a $40 drawing, which would take me literally like 25 minutes to do. I'm not going to do that for 20 bucks, yeah. You know? And then he said to me, well, come on, they're just kids, you know? Their heads are smaller, they should be easier to draw. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you're right. That makes it so much easier to draw caricatures because an adult head and a child's head are so far different from each other. And children generally are so much easier to draw. They don't squirm or act like
they,
little...
They should make that argument when they go to professional photographers. Yeah. Oh, you should charge less for children because they're smaller.
Yeah, this, you know, once again, ocean of idiots. So that... one woman liked a caricature so much that she gave me a hug afterwards. So that was interesting. And then there was the phenomenon of Edsfest. I showed up to Ed Bevick's the Saturday of the weekend before Labor Day weekend, and I parked my car in this little back corner that the valet people let me park at. And as I was grabbing the stuff from the car, I was hearing this music. I'm like, wow, they must have got a new speaker for their outside speaker, because that music sounds really, you know, crisp. And then I keep grabbing things, slinging over my shoulders, I'm like, that actually sounds like a live band. No, that wouldn't make any sense. And then I walk around the corner. There's a stage with a live band playing in the parking lot of Ed DeBevick's. And then I turn and look, and I see a bunch of, like, an ice cream cart and a bunch of other stuff set up. And I'm like, what the heck? And I look, and there's signs up that say, you know, Ed's Fest 2011.
Yeah.
So they were doing some kind of outdoor festival-y type thing in the parking lot to help promote Ed DeBevick's.
But the funny thing is the manager didn't know about it.
Yeah, like, apparently, I don't know if I don't know what the story is. Maybe it was the owner's idea, and they kind of had all this stuff on standby waiting for a Saturday when they knew it wasn't going to rain, and then they just kind of pulled the trigger like, okay, we're doing Ed's Fest today. Call all these bands. Get them here. Like, I have no idea how that all came together. But so I decided, since it was a nice day, well, since all the action is outside, I'll set up my stand outside. So I actually was able to do that in a way that worked and that things wouldn't blow over with the wind. So I hung out all there and outside and drew caricatures. So at one point, I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, not facing the stage because I'm in my chair and and this band gets up and they're like, "Hi, we are the band of 1,000 names and we're the Midwest's premier parody rock band." And I'm like, "Excuse me?" And then I get up and turn around and I look at them and I recognize, oh, this is a bunch of the staffers from Ed's.
Oh.
So, you know, apparently they have a parody rock band they've started called Band of 1,000 Names. Like, each show they pretend to be a different name.
Yeah.
Or something. So they did some of their music and, you know, it was definitely sideshow worthy.
Yeah.
You know, for being a band and for being parodies. And after the show, I gave them, you know, I wrote down on a piece of paper Dr. Domino's address so they could send him some stuff and information about the Funk Sideshow, saying, hey, you should post some stuff here. They said they put out an EP and they had a few other new songs they've done.
Cool.
So I went and looked on the web to see if I could find their website, which I did, and they have a MySpace page where they have a few of their older songs up, so we're going to play one of those in the final song segment.
That's interesting.
And it's they had one that was kind of Chicago-oriented, because it's about street vendors that, you know, drive around and sell food on the streets in Chicago. So the song is called Tamale Guy. So that's the one I'll play
There's
at the
end a tamale
of the show.
Guy the night I met Josh, and I nearly bought tamales, but I found out I couldn't buy one. I had to spend $5 to get six, and I didn't want six.
Ah.
Just wanted one.
So, okay, so next story. That same day, Ed's Fest, there's this phenomenon, like, it's, you know, I try not to be a stuck-up, snooty, pompous comedy snob, but every so often I witness this phenomenon where a general public person who isn't a comedian thinks of something funny, and they think it's just the funniest thing ever, and they won't let it go.
Yeah.
You know, especially when people are intoxicated, and that's what this guy definitely was. There's these three guys there, and, you know, on various levels of intoxication. The one that was the most drunk comes up to me, it's like, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw my friend, but I want you to draw him, like, just as a stick figure, but with a big cock. Will you draw my friend as a stick figure with a big cock? And remember, I am sitting on the street outside at Ed DeBevick's Ed's Fest.
With a bunch of kids
with people and children and stuff and, you know, and I'm like, no, sir, I don't. Like, oh, come on. And I'm like, sir, it's a family restaurant. It's part of my, you know, a big part of my income to be here working and drawing every week. And I can't run the risk of getting in trouble and getting kicked out of here, not being allowed to draw here. So I can't do that. Oh, come on. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm getting better as I get older to tell people no.
It's, yeah.
So he kind of drifts away. And then eventually the three guys come back, and now they want to actually get a real caricature, so I start drawing one. And the drunk guy was in the middle. And, you know, so I draw the guy on the left first. I get done with him, go to the guy in the middle. And as soon as he realizes... Here, I'll go over here. As soon as he realizes that I have moved and I'm drawing him, this is what he does. Like, doing, like, every half second is a different pose, and he's moving and doing and this and that, and it's like, you're a fucking douchebag. You know, you think you're funny. You're being a douchebag, and you're making my fucking job harder. You asshole. You know? So, I basically had to kind of, you know, over my 15 years, I've learned trickery of, like, all right, I'm just going to, you know...
You're just getting
generic. I'm going to pretend that I've moved on and have drawn something else so that I can... You know, so that when he stops being a douchebag, or at least slows down to the point where I can get a good look at the part of the face I need to see to do the next step, it's like, all right, look at him. Okay. You know, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, look up, you know, so... I'm not... It's hard to describe this in an audio format. Just basically very quick looks so that he doesn't notice that I'm looking at him, so he doesn't go back to his douchebaggy ways, so that I can get the fucking drawing done and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I manage to get the drawing done, and I give it to them, and they're happy, and they pay me, and they leave. And then some amount of time later, Drunky McDrunkerton comes back again, and he's like, hey, can I just have a sheet of paper? And I'm like, okay. And, you know, so I give him a sheet of paper just because I want him to go the fuck away. So he goes away, and then a few minutes later, I see him. He has somehow found a Sharpie marker and drawn a stick figure with a big cock, and he's showing it to his friend like, hey, see, this is the thing I thought of that was so funny. It's a stick figure of you, and you have a big cock in front of Ed DeBevick's. So it's like, fucking... People are assholes, you know?
Yeah, they really are.
Alright, one more story. Almondo was back at Key Lime Cove once again, spinning, DJing. DJ Almondo is the reason the Dada Slide exists, because he has 20 different versions and remixes of the Dada Slide, sure. And he plays them all every night.
Of the what? What's the original
one? The Cha-Cha Slide, that's what I meant. Yeah, the Cha-Cha Slide, you know. Yeah. This is Cha-Cha Slide Part 2. If anyone else tells this in, you a damn fool. All right, to the left, now shut the fuck up! I'm so sick of it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I show up, I set my stuff up, and this is after all the fucking my bag got stolen, spending literally every moment of my life freaking out and stressing, getting little to no sleep and not enough food from Friday at 9:30 p.m. until Monday at 9:30 p.m. And this was like Sunday night. You know, I set up, I sit down, it's 9 p.m., I'm exhausted, people already want to get drawn. I start drawing him, and he comes up to me, and he's basically having to yell in my ear because we're so close to the music, and he plays everything so loud that he has to yell for me to understand what he's saying at all.
Uh-huh.
So, and, okay, benefit of the doubt, there is a slight chance he was joking when he said this, but the more I think about it and what I know about him and my past history with him... and other gigs that have gone awry that I've told Carrie about that I haven't talked about on this show, I really have to assume he wasn't kidding when he said this to me. And it's fucking amazing that he said this. And coming from a place of genuinely thinking he was helping me with this suggestion, I sit down. He comes up to me, "Hey," and I'll not yell this the way he did, but just, "Hey, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get on the mic there, and I'm gonna tell everyone that for every drawing they do, you're gonna do a second drawing for free, so it's 2 for 1. How do you like that idea?" And I said to him, "So, I'd be doing drawings, and every other drawing I do, I wouldn't get paid for?" And he goes, "Yeah!" And I immediately said, "No, there is no way I am going to go along with that." And he's like, "But you'd have a big long line of people!" I said, "I've had a really long, crappy weekend, and I'm exhausted. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Oh, okay, well, then what are your prices?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's, you know, $5 a person and up. Just tell them that. You know, okay." And then he leaves, and then he gets on the mic, and he tells them $5 a person and up, and
yeah,
people show up. But I was just like, seriously? You fucking seriously?
He was trying to help. Just relax on the guy.
And you know, I guess he came to me with that suggestion on the wrong specific day, I guess. Maybe if it was another day, I wouldn't have thought it was so out of place, but I was so fed up with life, the universe, and everything that day. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I had a story I wanted to tell on this podcast, but Josh didn't want me to tell it on this podcast, so I told it on Bill's podcast. So, in a couple months, you'll be able to download the next pod of rapport and hear me tell a story with impassioned vigor.
Cool. Well, we have comments now because they go at the end of the show.
Yay!
So here, you can read the first comment.
Carrie Dalby says, "Wow, you spelled basically correctly for once. Smiley face."
Yay! Breakman Z, who turns 30. Happy birthday, Breakman Z!
He turns 30 this Thursday.
Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Breakman Z. Happy birthday, shall we? That was the Frankenfurter version.
Oh.
Okay.
No wonder I didn't recognize it.
Yes. Wow. Breakman Z says, "Wow, I actually remember the Brothers Grunt on MTV years ago. Thanks for bringing up that weird memory, Luke. I also approve of the nickname for Carrie's baby being Lawrence Avenue, just like Steve Crist has the nickname Optimus Prime Box. I realize this may result in me getting mercilessly beaten by Carrie's dainty hand the next time she sees me, but I will have to endure that for the idea to live on." Okay.
Arkle says, "I'm not sure if it was something wrong with the file, or if Luke just forgot to put them in, but I didn't hear any of the voicemails on this episode, just the website comments."
That's because we only had one voicemail comment, and it was played at the beginning of the show to set up one of the songs.
Yep.
So, Wildcard says, "I will have you know that you caused my boss to give me a strange look at work today. I am always using the plug-in line when I hear a song that is too slow, and laughed when I heard Wild Thing begin." Cool.
Slightly D says, "Carrie, your story about the Wiccan-looking baby doc reminded me of my daughter's pediatrician. Both my wife and I thought she looked very much like what we imagined Professor Trelawney in the Harry Potter books would have looked like, but in no way disheveled. Surprisingly, we are both very comforted by that. I suspect anything to do with babies attracts a special sort of medical professional, doctor, nurse, otherwise." Yeah, I'm not disconcerted by her Wiccan-lookingness. She's very professional seeming, but she also looks Wiccan. And Josh didn't get to meet her yet. Go ahead.
So, okay, this was not a comment, but a message sent to me on Facebook from Julie Whelan Calpel, who is the MC of the Gen Con Masquerade every year, and she's been a huge supporter of mine and a really good friend. So she saw me at Gen Con, she picked up CDs and stuff, so she sent me this message, and I asked her if I could read part of it on the air, and she said yes. So here's her message. "Hi, Luke. I've been going through all the CDs I bought at Gen Con and had to tell you how much I loved the podcast CD. I have always wanted to listen to the podcast, but I don't have enough hours in the day. Gotta say that after listening to the CD, I will make more of an effort. I was laughing so hard at some parts that I had tears running down my face in the car while driving. Kind of dangerous, but oh well. The best parts were you doing the Royal Carey voice. Funniest thing I have heard in years. Not just the voice, but the things you were saying were just genius. You have an incredible comedy mind, so fast and on target. I will tell you how you are to mock me, etc. just slayed me. Also, your retelling of Carrie's day using the British accent was just flawless. Again, it's not just what you have, it's not just that you have the accent down perfectly, but the words and phrases you use are spot on. If I didn't know it was you, I would think it was a real guy from London. So...
The thing that always bugs me about that segment is that you kind of talk over my favorite part, which is you asking me, doesn't that sound much more interesting than what you just said? And I said, no, because I'm the one who said it, bitch. That's my favorite part of that segment, but it kind of gets lost in there.
So, if you have comments you'd like to make for the show, you can leave comments at the website, badrapport.com, badrapport.com.
So we didn't get any voice comments?
We didn't get any voice comments, no new iTunes reviews.
Bill had said he wanted to leave a voice comment, and I encouraged him to do so.
Well, if Bill wants to leave a voice comment, he can call 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-585-3754. 916-585-3754. And you can leave us an iTunes review at iTunes. It'd be like, you know, cool if you gave us like a 5-star review and said you really like the podcast and stuff. But, you know, that's up to you.
Yeah, so, it's totally up to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I guess that's it for the show. We're going to be doing another show in the future, which hasn't happened yet.
Right. Maybe a little sooner than the 2-week interval.
And if we haven't already mentioned this specifically on the air... you know, between Carrie's new college thing on Tuesday nights and the whole creating life in her womb thing, we're going to be doing our best to keep doing episodes every 2 weeks, but they might not happen always on the same day,
I think I'd mentioned that earlier in this very episode.
Oh, okay. Well, just to remind you all, it's like we're going to do our best to try to come up with some of the regular style episodes and keep it the show you love. But things might get a little wonky. We might be on the wonk.
Whoa!
Yes. So
I'm glad you had that picture on the internet before your camera got stolen.
Yes. So anything else to mention, Carrie Dalby?
No. Let me think. No.
How about this?
That was weak.
Okay.
That almost wasn't even gross.
Well, until next time, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's
Bad Rapport.
Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Como se dice? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
When he wakes up, yeah, you know he's gonna be. The man who's steaming most of Molly's. When he goes out, yeah, you know he's gonna be the man who walks about so jolly. When I get drunk, yeah, you know I'm gonna be the man who's looking for a snack. When I find him, yeah, you know I'm gonna be so excited that you'll have to hold me back. Well, he would walk 500 locks. It's gonna be because he's out of course shuck. And if he grows old, yeah, you know he's gonna be the man who's surely made a buck. But he would walk 500 blocks, we would walk 500 more. A fine and traveling munchy man, she's a tamale man.
Cilantro,
con queso, lonely, yeah, you know it's gonna be because I miss to Molly meat. What I'm dreaming, yeah, you know I'm gonna dream about that awesome tasty treat. When I go out, yeah, you know
I come home,
if I come home,
if I come home empty-handed and I haven't found some mollies, I will try. If I haven't found some bullies, I'll cry.
I'm really nervous about my date with Ellen tonight. I mean, I want to impress her, but what if I mess things up?
Oh, come on, Chris. It's just a matter of getting off on the right foot. First things first. Let's get you looking sharp.
You've got to look your best tonight, you tubby little parasite, 'cause there's a lovely lady and she's waiting for you. And though her pretty face may seem a special person's wettest dream, before you get to see it, there are things you must do. We'll try a tie and boutonniere of yellow or a rose that shows that you're a classy fellow with the posh panache of Jefferson at Monticello, busting out a mile with style. I know you just can't wait to stare at all that luscious orange hair, but boy, before you touch a single curl, you must impress that ultra-booming, all-consuming, poorly grooming Down Syndrome girl. On any normal day, you reek as if you're on a farting streak, your fingers up your nose and you are dripping with drool. But if you want a lady's love, you're better off by smelling of a gentleman's cologne instead of sneakers and stool. A squirt of something just for Ellen, and you'll see that she will find you so compelling, and she does, because the only smell that she'll be smelling won't be coming from your bum. You wanna take that little whore and spin her on the dancing floor, but boy, before you do a single twirl, you must impress that effervescing, self-possessing, no BSing Down Syndrome girl. Her eyes are emerald portals to a secret land of love, and her smile is like the sweetest summer flower. Her kiss is so inviting, and her hugs are so delighting.
And what makes them really nice is that they've got a little spice, because they're tighter than a vice, and they go on for an hour. We'll get you on that shorty bus, and then you're gonna take it for a whirl. Now go impress that super thrilling, wish fulfilling you who's spilling, ultra swinging, boner bringing, gaily singing, ding a linging, stupefying, fortifying, as of Monday, shoelace tying, stimulating, titillating, kitty cat impersonating, mega rocking, pillow talking, just a little crooked walking, coyly pouting, booby sprouting, for some reason always shouting, fascinating, captivating, happiness and joy creating. Down Syndrome Girl!
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Playing guitars. It's hard to sing while playing guitars.
What's she doing with her hands?
It's called applause.
I'm not sure I like it.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
Testing, testing. Hi, this is Carrie. And this is Luke! And you're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.